This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Cowboys 105 through the Fan. We're about to talk with a very special football guest. You could see him on our webcam at 105throughthefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Has a very professional backdrop there with an excellent-looking bookshelf. He's ready for the big time. Mike Sando from The Athletic has published his annual quarterback tier rankings. NFL personnel weighing in on 30 veteran signal callers. And Mike Sando joins us now to talk more about it. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So we obviously here in Dallas are never too far from a good debate of where you put Dak Prescott inside the top 10 or top 12. Where do you have Dak Prescott, and what would it take for him to be in the absolute top tier?
So the beauty of it, I don't have him anywhere because I pulled 50 coaches and executives in the league, and this is where they see them based on the criteria that's spelled out in the article. You can check that out on The Athletic, and you'll see how each tier is defined. But generally, tier one is the quarterback who can win with less around him, right? Mahomes would be the greatest example of winning it all twice in 19 and 22 without even having a good defense. So that's the elite standard. And then Dak comes in solidly in tier two. I feel like any quarterback in the top two tiers, you feel like you could probably get to the Super Bowl without having some miracle team, right? The 2000 Ravens defense or something. And then when you get into tier three, you're going to see some players that they probably get paid. You know, Tua, Trevor Lawrence has gotten paid. Kyler Murray. You hope they could do it, but you may need more around them, or they just haven't proven that they can do it over time, like somebody like Dak has. Dak is now pretty much the poster guy for what a tier two quarterback is. And the definition of the tier two quarterback is he carries his team sometimes. He handles the pure pass in doses, meaning pure pass is when the defense knows you have to pass, right? We're out of our play action game and run game. It's really on you. So Dak's pretty good in the 2 minute, but not consistently as great as some of the tier one guys have been. Or some of these guys could possess another dimension that's special enough to elevate them above tier three. Sometimes you'd see the guy who's just a great runner, not a great passer, but that's enough to carry him into that second tier group. So Dak's been solidly there for years, and he gets a couple tier one votes here and there. But I think to get over that, it's what everybody's hoping happens there. It's why Jerry didn't re-up Mike, the head coach, right now is, hey, let's see it a little bit more when it matters in the playoffs. And maybe some of those times when he could put it on his back then and get him over the hump would elevate him further. But he's super solid right there, number nine overall.
Mike, did you find that that these evaluators and general managers and coaches and stuff that you talked to, did you find that he was the guy that the quarterback that they had the most problem with identifying where he needed to be? Or was it just really, as you say, so clear cut with, were there other quarterbacks that,
no, Aaron Rodgers
that people struggle with more?
No, he's super easy. So he got 37 of his votes were in tier two. Yeah. Four were in tier one. The remaining nine are in tier three. And that's just people who, probably have a little bit of a harder grading scale. Mm-hmm. There were some, when you do this, like I'll run through the 50 people in the panel. Some people will have very few ones. Like, so there's a few ballots where they just gave Mahomes the only one. Mm-hmm. So then they might have a different standard in their mind to where, when they get through, maybe their twos are Lamar and Herbert and Rodgers, and then they have a smaller group of twos, so Dak could get a few threes that way. But for the most part, I think the league agrees on what he is. He's a very good starting quarterback that you can win a lot of games with, who hasn't, despite having, you know, quite a pretty good team around him, hasn't gotten over the top the way he might if he was a notch or two better than he is.
So who was that quarterback that was getting the most, wide spectrum of different tiers? Was it perhaps Aaron Rodgers or somebody else?
It is Rodgers got votes in four different tiers.
Sure.
Which seems kind of ridiculous. But, okay, if you give him a vote in tier one, you're saying, you know what, this guy's been tier one forever. I'll believe the decline when I see it. If you're tier two on Rodgers, you say, you know what? He's been tier one forever, but look, new team, coming off of an injury, his age is up there. I'm going to knock him down and we'll wait and see, make him prove it. Tier three would be, hey, look, I think this guy lost a step in Green Bay. I think he wasn't as good at the end. Now you throw in the age and all the other stuff he's got going on. I think he's going to be, you know, closer to a middle of the pack quarterback at this stage and declining fast. And there were only two tier four votes. Four is a little bit of a weird tier. It's either, you know, kind of a journeyman type guy. Think of a Ryan Fitzpatrick or a Gardner Minshew. They're fine, but you wouldn't want to go the whole year. Or there's not enough information. Usually that's for a young guy who's got five starts or something. But some people thought they didn't have enough information, a couple on Rodgers, because he just hasn't played for so long. And we don't know really how good and strong and healthy he's going to look. So definitely, I think he's one of the few guys to get in four categories. Jordan Love might have two, but Jordan Love got almost all twos and threes, whereas Rodgers had a pretty good distribution.
It's Mike Sando here of The Athletic. How about C.J. Stroud? You know, how strong is he coming on?
Rocketing. So I've been doing this since 2014. And like I said, I exclude rookies because, you know, the guys haven't seen him play. It's just be college evals. But Stroud coming in eighth overall, solidly in tier two, one spot above Dak Prescott, is the best debut for a second-year quarterback since I've been doing this. That's higher than Herbert, I believe, and some of the others who came in really strong. So, you know, people very impressed by him. He got 12 tier one votes. That's a lot for one season of starting. The next guy underneath him was Dak with four. So some of that, I wonder, you know, the expectations for Houston were so low. People thought their team was terrible going into the year. In retrospect, though, maybe their offensive line was pretty good. Maybe they actually had some good weapons. Maybe D'Amico Ryans knew what he was doing. Maybe Bobby Sloak was okay, right? But in our minds going in, you're just like, wow, this season was not what anybody expected, and that quarterback looked great. So this could be a case of him potentially, this is just my opinion, getting a little bit more of the credit than people typically do.
Mike, I'm going to change it on you a little bit. I think I saw you in Oxnard. You were there for a day in Oxnard for the Cowboys.
I was there. Yeah.
You had a cord around you of everybody wanting to kiss the ring and stuff, so I couldn't get over to kiss your ring while you were there. Yeah. But I just wondered, observations, whispers, nuggets. I'm sure you're going to write about some stuff and talk about some stuff and all the podcast work and stuff. By the way, you and Randy Mueller were tremendous together. I loved your guys' podcast, and I love Randy. I think he's a hell of a guy, and I think you're right along there with him. Any nuggets or things that you can whisper to our Cowboys Nation people here that listen to us that you might have heard that we need to know about?
Oh, interesting. Do I have any hot rumors on the Cowboys?
You know, I saw you get led away to places that we're not allowed to go to, so I just thought maybe you'd know.
Well, it's funny. Let me tell you what I do when I go to these camps. Yeah. I am not somebody who comes there and asks people really deeply about their team. Sure. I'm working on league projects like this and other things around the league. And what I find is that's the types of conversations guys love to have. When you get in there and you get I can get guys to confide in me, but then I'm not going to go on a podcast and say exactly, you know, all the things that I think are going to happen. I do think it's an interesting place just because of, you know, Jerry being Jerry, and they've been such a good team for 3 years, but not getting over the hump, not doing a deal with your coach, the quarterback. I would presume he wants to be there and you'd think he'll get a deal done, but it's just a very interesting year. Just wait till there's a couple of losses or something. Sure. You know, it just feels like it's going to be a team where almost Jerry wants it. Like he's welcoming this storm that's going to come.
You think he wants the chaos?
Well, certainly he doesn't try to suppress
hide
the
from
chaos.
It. Yeah.
I mean, he stirs it up.
Yeah.
He does. You saw his little comments the other day.
Absolutely.
He's always stirring it up. He's always talking after the games, you know, that sort of a thing. I'll say this. I'm impressed with Prescott because a lot of these quarterbacks When they get in this situation, they're doing the hold ins and all that type of thing, which I get it. I'm not saying that's a bad strategy because it worked for these guys. But there's something I admire too about the guy who's going into the last year and he's there every day for his teammates and he shows up and he practices hard, says all the right stuff, you know. And that was notable to me, the type of thing you see happening at a camp that no one talks about. Like, he's just there. He's assumed he's going to be there, but that's not the way it is in Miami when Tua doesn't come in, or Green Bay where Jordan Love doesn't come in. So he's just handling this well, I think. I think Dak is handling this well. Maybe these both sides are just sort of at peace with the situation.
Sure.
And not that stressed out about it.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe that they wouldn't do a deal before the year, but what if they just agreed to, let's just see where it goes?
Yeah.
That would be interesting too, and be okay.
Mike, what has been the biggest objection from this tiers list? Who is there a fan base or a group of people that are frustrated by a particular ranking?
So, yes, initially people, there's a lot of media people kind of on Twitter and people, you know, fans too, thought that it was giving Burrow the benefit of the doubt to leave him in tier one when he's been banged up. And there's questions about how well he's going to be able to play because of the durability. So I didn't really see that coming. I think he's excellent. There's always good conversation around Lamar Jackson because he's a two-time MVP who has been really high in tier two, but because a certain segment of the voters, about half of them this year, think that when he has to pass the ball, it doesn't look good enough. And that is always a good conversation. There's a lot of conflicted voters who think he should be a tier one, but he's missing this component of tier one. So what do we do? I think that's interesting. And then notable to me is the top of tier three. If you look at the top of tier three is Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson. And tier three is really legitimate starter, but not as much of a featured guy. You're going to probably want to run the ball, play defense, win with this guy, but real questions about whether you can get over the top. Those top four guys of Tua, Lawrence, Murray, and Watson, look at their salaries. That's a lot of money to be paying for guys that the league doesn't think are really in the upper echelon of quarterbacks. Amazing.
It is, man. It's really interesting, the economy of that position. And then before we go, obviously Cowboys, Eagles, top two picks in the division. What are your guys telling you about Jalen Hurts?
It's funny, you know, he didn't lose that much ground in tier two, but I felt like the conversation around him was more negative. It was one of the more negative conversations for someone who, you know, he was 10-1 last year. He's been to a Super Bowl and everybody admires the way he approaches the game. I mean, everybody thinks he's wired right, but there's real questions about, you know, people know that he has some limitations and they think that Shane Steichen was a huge part of making that work well for them. And so when he was there last year, it was chaotic a little bit. Now you bring in Kellen Moore. People think Kellen Moore's good, but they're not sure that he's a great fit for this quarterback because they think he's inclined to want to pass the ball a lot. And here they signed Saquon Barkley and they have a quarterback who's not going to have Jason Kelce. And they have a head coach who's a little bit on the hot seat in a place where it gets real noisy real quick. There's questions around the head coach. You bring in Vic Fangio on the defense. There's just a lot going on there. And so what's that offense going to look like? And is it going to be set up well for Hurts? Or did we see kind of the best of him maybe with that great team around him and Steichen being the right coordinator, right? I think there's a little bit of a fear that this thing peaked a little bit.
Sounds good to me. I think we'll drink to that down here. Mike Sando in The Athletic, thank you so much for your time, sir, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Great. Thank you so much.
Cheers. Yes, there it goes. A great piece there you can read in The Athletic, his annual QB tier rankings. Everybody looks forward to him, Chief.
Heck yeah. That's fantastic, dude. That's what you want to see. When you get the opinions from around the sport, that's a true serum.
Yeah.
I think he gave you something you need to pay attention to.
What's that?
About Jerry and
that he likes it. Yeah.
Not that he likes it, but that your quarterback's comfortable.
The
front office is comfortable.
Yeah.
He told you something that he got when he was at camp.
Hmm. Okay.
I trust me, when I watch these dudes, I watch how they move.
Yeah.
You know, I saw the
gait.
I saw the direction he was going and things that he was getting to do and stuff like that. So He's not
more optimism that Dak's back than after hearing something like that.
No,
not or less.
Less.
Oh, okay.
Just what he said.
Oh, okay.
He
okay.
said Dak's comfortable doing what front office might be comfortable. I think he's
comfortable with splitting up.
I think he's walking you down a path that might be.
So it reinforces our current beliefs already.
I think. Very interesting. Just an observation, just for what he said. I don't think he wanted to tell you much, but I think he told you something.
Hey, you got the scout's eye, not me. Yeah.
Top 10 at 420 coming up next. Chief, where are we taking it?
Week one of college football, ladies and gentlemen. It's here. We also have the Michigan scandal documentary that's out. So I have the top 10 strangest scandals in college football history for you next year in the nation.